So quickly, if we would take our Bibles, let's all stand. We're going to turn over to Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1, as we turn there and we all stand, we're going to read one verse together. And we're going to try to draw some other things from it tonight that we have been talking about while he was doing the newcomers class, or just teaching some things about what the church is about and what the church believes in, so people will have an understanding as to what Shining Light Baptist Church is all about. Amen?
Amen.
So Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Father, again, we thank you for tonight, Lord. We thank you for the privilege that we have to come in your house. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you for those that have already petitioned their hearts and their desires to you, for great needs that we have in our lives, for those that we know and love, and for our nation, Lord, and for our loved ones. And do pray especially for Joshua and Faith tonight and Ms. Dawson as she's ministering to your kids. I pray you bless in the Pastor Pirate Club as well as our young people being instructed there. And again, Lord, as we gather here tonight, what a privilege it is to come out of the cares of this world, to come into the house of God. I pray you empty this servant of himself. Lord, fill me with your spirit. Lord, we might speak, thus saith the Lord, and you would have full reign and control of everything that would be said and everything that would be done here tonight. May it bring glory and honor to you, and we might leave here tonight and say that it has been good to have been in the house of the Lord. We praise you now and thank you and ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. And what I'll do tonight is continue as we've been talking about here for the last couple of weeks, as Pastor and we're meeting over in another part of the building here, just been talking about some things of what's missing in the churches today. And we drew four things that we're going to talk about that we had been talking about. And we want to kind of close it up tonight. We had been talking about what the church is missing. As we look back into the book of Acts, and Pastor's talked about it many times, the book of Acts is the transitioning book, and John is writing. And then he's coming over into the book of Acts, and we're going to see the very beginning of the churches and many churches that are in the New Testament as Paul was ministering to these churches. But I believe there are some things that are missing in our churches today that were prevalent and very relevant in the church here in the book of Acts. And we drew some things from that. We won't go back through all of those tonight, it's for the sake of time. But we talked about one of the things that we believe that was missing in churches today was the missing of prayer. We got to be prayer warriors if we want to see anything done in the house of God. And we see here, even when Jesus was delivering with his disciples and told them about what they were going to receive, because they were concerned about him restoring the kingdom or bringing Rome back into its present need. But God was telling them it wasn't for them to know, and brought to their understanding of what they were going to receive, because God is going to hold them responsible now for carrying the gospel into all of the world. You know, it's a funny thing when we think about it tonight, how we've been talking about missions and how we wrapped up about talking about missions. But this same idea here is that we're going to have the power now to go into all the world and preach the gospel. As we looked at it last week, we were talking about missions. But just think about it. We talked about two words here. We talked about power, the power that was talked about in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19 was the power. All power is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. And go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The power that Jesus was talking about there was that he was going to give his disciples, just like we are tonight, he was giving them the authority to go and share the gospel. And this passage of scripture, he's given us the power or the whereabouts to do what he's calling them to do. And that he says, you shall receive power after what? After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. He didn't say you would, but he said you shall be witnesses. You know, you can be a good witness, or you can be a bad witness. I don't know about you, but I want to be a good witness, and I believe that's what Jesus' idea was. But it went on to say, not only they're going to receive power, but we also talked about prayer. We talked about the power. He says here in James 5 and verse 16, it says, confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We need to be praying for each other, because we can avail much in a lot of things that need to be done. They were going to receive the power that they needed to go out and reach the world. And we see that example as you could go through the book of Acts, and you could see it over and over how they had this power. And it was so prevalent that people would see them, even when the disciples, they would ask you, where do you get this power from? What authority are you speaking on? Who's giving you this authority and privilege to go and preach and say the things that you were saying? We find it in Acts chapter 4 and verse 7. We also saw one of the things that is missing in our society society or in churches today, not on prayer, but power, but we see preaching. You know, one of the things that is needed in churches today, it's not a place where you need to come to be entertained. It's a place where you need to come to hear preaching, because we need to be under preachings where we get convicted about our life, our lifestyle, what we're doing. Is it pleasing to God? If we're going to reach our nation for the glory of God, not just through missions, but to go out across the street, around the country, or to Phoenix, or to extend it out into the areas that he's talking about here in the book of Acts, we need to hear some preaching to stir our hearts like we did here these last couple of nights. Amen. When we think about our missions conference, he says in Acts, in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, for the preaching of the cross to them is perish, that perish is foolishness, but unto us that are saved by its power, by the power of God. He also says in 1 Corinthians 1 in verse 21, it says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Isn't that relevant today? It pleased God. Notice it. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So God is on board when we talk about foolishness of preaching. That's how I got saved. Amen. I got convicted. I heard the preaching. I got convicted. Pastor shared the gospel with me. I got saved because I heard preaching that I'd never heard before. And I got saved. Amen. And preaching is going to change lives, and it's going to motivate us, I pray, to continue to reach out to this lost and dying world. So we see here prayer, power, preaching. But I believe one of the other things that's missing in our churches today is the church today is personal soul winning. Amen. 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 You can know about it. You can hear about it. You can be preached to about it. But you know what? It's never going to take the place of you going out and being a witness. He said, because you shall be witnesses. Amen. Unto me. Right. God wants us to be a witness for him. And I find one of the greatest examples, we could find many examples as we could look in the book of Acts. We could go to chapter 2 and verse 41 as Peter was preaching. And it said, as he was preaching in chapter number four, chapter 2 and verse 41, and he says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there was added unto them about 3,000 souls. You know what they did? They're here preaching. And I believe that those people that were being preached to, they became such an example that there were thousands added unto the church because of not only the preaching, but there were people witnessing. That's right. They were a witness to those that were around them. And, you know, let me say this tonight. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, you are a witness, whether you believe it or not. Amen. And you know what? Your life and what you say, what you do may be the only Bible that people will ever read and see. Because you are a witness. Let's go over tonight to chapter number 8, and I believe one of the greatest examples of a witness or a personal witness we find in chapter number 8 of Acts chapter, the book of Acts in chapter number 8. And just to kind of set the tone here, I believe that we see here Philip was being used by God in Acts chapter number 8, and we see here in verse number 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto these things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. And I believe that it stirred up people in such a way. This man named Simon that we find here in Acts chapter 8 over here, not only hears Peter preaching, but he was so excited about it that Simon was one of those sorcerers that had benefited from being something that he wasn't, because people thought he was something great, but really he wasn't. He didn't have the power that they thought he had. Look at verse 18. And when Simon saw that through a land of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered money. You know what? I don't know about you, but I'm glad nobody came by the salvation that you can have through Jesus Christ. Amen. Aren't you glad that it's free? And he said, look, Simon, you know what? You need to just go ask God to forgive you, because you got a wicked spirit in you. And he was dealing with Simon because he was hearing his preaching. He saw these people are getting saved, and he wanted to buy this salvation. But Peter said, you can't buy it.
That's right.
You can't buy it. But let me say something about being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only a few that are called. And you and I that are saved are called to be witnesses.
That's right.
And here is Philip. He was preaching. And here he was preaching, engaged in preaching, but God now is going to call him to go join himself up with a eunuch that's in the desert to be a witness to him. You know why a lot of us as Christians don't have a good witnessing and a testimony for being a witness to God? Because we're not in tune with God.
That's right.
See, yeah. Philip was in tune with God. And you have to be when God calls you to witness. You'll never hear his voice because most of us are so wrapped up in ourselves. We never hear the Spirit of God. We never hear the voice of God telling us to go over and witness to somebody. And here's Philip getting to the divine direction now to go join yourself up with this eunuch and share with him the gospel and be a witness. Just like what you and I, we are called to be it. Now we see the calling on his life. Look down here with me as we're going to just kind of step down through here. And we're going to see some very key things because I believe the call to be a witness was a sovereign call. You know what? God just don't just call just anybody. Amen. And we're not being called because we're not busy serving God. I believe one of the greatest tragedies with Christians today, we want to see our families get saved and we want them to get saved, but we're not witnessing to anybody. Don't ask God to do something in your life for somebody you love when you're not doing it in somebody's life who's right around you.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Because he's called you and he wants to send you, but we don't get called because we're not sensitive. Amen. So here he see here, the call is a personal call. So witnessing here is the call that God gave to Philip. And look at verse number 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, behold, a eunuch or a man of Ethiopian, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge over all her treasures and had come to Jerusalem to worship. Amen. So we see the call and Philip is answering the call. God is going to have him to go somewhere that he's never been before. And Philip said, the Bible says that it's a sovereign call, but the site that he was supposed to go to is the desert. You know what? That's probably not the greatest place to go to.
Right.
Nobody wants to go to the desert. You know, we live in it though. Amen. I know it was my wife wasn't her first choice when we came to Tucson. Amen. But we started out in the desert. We finished in the desert. We came into Edwards Air Force Base and then we was desert. And then we ended up retiring in the desert. Amen. But to go down towards the south. In other words, it was not a glamorous place. Serving God sometimes requires us to go to some considerable efforts to be able to be a witness. And he says, go, you got to get up and move. If he says, go, and you don't get up and move, you can never be a witness. Because the call is given to us every day. We run across somebody that needs to be saved. So the call is always there. But you know what happens? Look at verse number 27. And he arose and he went. And behold, the Ethiopian eunuch was there. We see here, he submitted to the call. And you and I got to be willing to submit to the call. He rose up and he went. And you know, and I say this in all sincerity and hope to be a blessing to you. If God calls you to do something, you need to respond to it. Because if you don't learn how to respond to it when he tells you to do something, you'll never know what it is that he wants you to do next. Because if you don't respond the first time, most of the time, he may not ever call you to go to do anything. Because you're not paying attention and you're listening. But you know what? You got to ask God to use you. And if you want to be used by God, he'll give you an opportunity to be used. But if you never ask, then he may never call you. Because maybe he sees you don't want to witness. But we ought to want to witness. And Philip wanted to witness. Because the same message that he was preaching in Samaria was the same message that he shared with the eunuch. About getting saved. Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried for your sins and for mine. Philip was going to share this same message with him. The message doesn't change. And we can talk about everything under the sun. But it's hard to get us sometimes to talk about what people really need to hear. With all of the problems and all of this, that's another message in itself. Amen. So we see the call. But notice the circumstances in this personal call for witnessing. In Acts 27 in verse number 28, he says here, and he arose and went, and behold, a eunuch, an Ethiopian, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopian, who had charge of her treasures, had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Esaias, the prophet. So notice the circumstances. The person here is a Gentile. He was of great authority, but I read a commentary that says he was of color. I am so glad that when Pastor Kraft knocked on my door, he didn't look at what color I was. He saw that I had a need. And let me tell you something. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what race you are. People are lost in every one of them.
That's right.
And we got to be willing to share the gospel. Mm-hmm. Whether it's the man in the White House or in the poorhouse, he still needs to be saved. And we shouldn't change how we speak or how we approach a person because of their position. This man needed to be saved, and Philip didn't care about who he was because God had called him. He's going to a Gentile and share the gospel. And you know what? You may have to go to the desert. You may have to go in places that nobody would want to go. Right, brother? Right, brother, in Mexico. Nobody wants to go there. But you know what? They need to be saved.
That's right. Amen.
You may not want to go to the Philippines, but somebody in the Philippines, not just somebody, everybody there needs to be saved. Just like in America, there are places in America that most people wouldn't want to go to. But you know what? Somebody needs to go.
That's right.
Because those same people need to be saved. And that's what I like about the circumstances. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are, but you ought to be willing to be a witness no matter what the circumstances are.
That's right.
Because everybody, believe it or not, unless you ask them and they can give you a clear presentation of the gospel message when they got saved, I doubt very seriously most people that you talk to on a daily basis are not saved. They're not saved. And if they are and you ask them and they don't want to tell you, then I still would doubt that they're saved. Because if you got it, you ought to want to share it. Amen. If you found $1 million tonight, every one of y'all would want to know when you come in the door, preacher, guess what I found? Mm-hmm. Well, preacher, guess what I found? A lost man on his way to hell. I stopped and shared the gospel with him.
Amen.
That person you go meet up there, we were talking about it earlier. I think it was at the barbershop. I got my hair all cut up, you know, got me a cut today. We was in there talking about it. And I was telling him that, you know what, people today say they say and have no idea what the gospel is all about.
That's right.
And most of the people that we meet, when I know what he was talking about, every time you go to Safeway, every time you go to Circle K, there's always somebody up there begging for money. Give them a track. They may not come and ask you no more for no money. I got something that's better than the quarter or the dime or the nickel or the dollar that you want. Here's the gospel, because that'll change your life. And maybe you'll get up out of the condition that you're in, because the greatest condition that you're in is that you're lost and you're on your way to hell. And you're begging for money when you can work and you don't want to do nothing because you think the government owes you something. That's another message in itself. Amen. But the circumstances, it doesn't matter. They still need to be saved. Amen. So the circumstances didn't bother Philip. He went down there and he personally witnessed to this eunuch who needed to be saved. And the path here in this circumstances, they're all different, because he was returning from Jerusalem. And maybe he had been there like some of us. You know, when you go somewhere, and I went to Terre Haute Baptist Church and I heard the message that I'd never heard before. And maybe he was in Jerusalem and he heard the message and he saw the crucifixion when they crucified Christ. Maybe that stirred his heart.
Could be. Amen.
Amen. Because it ought to bring some reality in your life when you think about the condition that you were in. Because people that you come in contact with, were some of you.
That's right.
Just like them. Didn't know you needed the gospel, but this man was curious, because I believe he heard something. That's why he was reading the Bible. Mm-hmm. You know, there ain't many people in his day probably had a copy of the scroll. But he was reading it and didn't have any understanding of it. But Philip wasn't so much concerned about the circumstances, but Philip was caught up and went to the desert. And it's not a nice place, amen, to go to the desert, but somebody needed to go. And here he was in this path, but he was pondering the circumstances. I believe it was what he heard. And he was a good steward when you really think about it, because he's reading something that's going to benefit him. Not only the money that he was watching, but it was the Bible that he was reading, amen. and the scriptures that he was pondering. Not everyone had those scrolls. Not everyone had the opportunity to hear the gospel. So we always think of Paul and everything, but he's writing, amen. But Philip was in this path. Philip heard the pondering and saw the pondering of this man. And he went over and he joined himself to him because he was doing something else. We see not only that we see the call, we see the circumstances, but look at the command. Look at verse number 29. And verse 28, he was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. So he gave him the command. Philip received further instructions. Notice the sequence of the command. When it comes to witnessing, there's a sequence that we ought to follow. Amen. First of all, the command is to go. We know we ought to go. But the sequence here is if we go, in other words, if we don't get moving, then we don't get no other instructions. But because he got up and moved, he got some other instructions. Look at what the verse says here in verse number 29. Then, because he got up and went down, then tells me that he got some other instructions. Amen. Then tells us the importance of the lesson. Obey what you know to do, and then you might be instructed as to something else you ought to do. Does that make sense tonight? Because if we don't get up and move, then God may never tell us to do anything else because you haven't got up and did the first thing. But if you go, be obedient to that you know you ought to do, and that is to go because you don't know who he's going to have you to witness to. But if you get up and go, then you're being obedient, amen, then you might get some other instructions. So then we see he did get some other instructions. Notice what it says here. And then the Spirit said unto Philip, it wasn't just anybody talking to Philip, but it was the Spirit of God, that the Spirit commanding him to do what God would have him to do. The Spirit said unto Philip, go. Go join yourself to this chariot. The work of the Holy Spirit is something that we need to rely on. Amen. We can't go out and witness to somebody if we're not relying on the Holy Spirit of God to prepare even that heart of that person that you're going to witness to. How many ever been out somewhere and you witness to somebody and you get there? They be like Brother Hall always telling y'all that when he wanted to get saved, that I wanted to talk about North Carolina, but I wasn't by myself. Y'all get that after a while, amen. But you're talking to somebody and their heart's already prepared. They're already ready to get saved because the Spirit of God is already working. And he's relying on us to carry the right message for the circumstances that is at hand.
That's right.
So then go. And now I'm going to tell you where to go because there's somebody already there that wants to get saved. All you got to do is go. So then tells us that he got, and the Spirit is the one that we want to rely on. So the sequence here, first of all, is the command. The Spirit is involved, but notice the specifics here that he tells him what to do. And we find that in verse 29. He says, go near and join thyself. So he's specifically telling him now, because then he got up, now go near and join yourself. Not only do we rely on the Spirit of God, but we need to respond to the Spirit of God. Amen?
Amen.
So if we're going to see the sequence here that happened, we see him relying and we see him responding. But notice not only that, but we got to be submissive. So the submission to the command. Not only was it specific, but there was a submission to this command. Notice Philip in verse number 30. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? So he was submitting to God. He ran. That's the pace he went with. Boy, I tell you what, he was ready to get over there and witness. Amen. You know, some of us, when God tells us to move, well, let me pray about it first. He already told you to go.
Amen.
So what is there to pray about? We ought to run over there because he already told you where to go. The Bible says Philip set the pace. He ran. He didn't get ahead of the Spirit. He ran because he not only went at a pace that he was supposed to go at, but because he responded the right way, he experienced the providence of God. See, we never experience the providence of God because we don't go at the pace that God would have us to go. We're still trying to figure out, well, maybe I need to pray about it, procrastinate. And we don't go and respond when God nudges us to go over and witness to somebody. We're waiting for the preacher to go. We're waiting for the deacons to go. We're waiting for the Sunday school teacher to go. Well, what about you?
That's right.
See, he experienced the providence of God because he went at the pace of God. And we don't experience the providence of God because we're still trying to figure it out. So the providence of God had already prepared this person. Philip's prompt obedience resulted in experiencing the providence of God. Those who complain that nothing ever happens when we witness can't blame God. Don't blame God, because a lot of times what happens is we don't respond when God tells us to go. And we miss out on the opportunity. And we wonder why nothing ever happens. And then some of us, just be honest with ourselves, we just hoping that God calls somebody else. Amen? You ever get kind of shaking, knees knocking when you go to the door and you praying, hoping that the person don't come to the door? Just be honest. Well, yeah, y'all been there, done that. Amen? But isn't it a wonderful providence of God when they open the door and you open your mouth and share the gospel and they get saved?
Amen.
It's all worth it.
Amen.
But if you never knock on the door, knees knocking, hands shaking, nervous and scared, you never know what it's like.
That's right.
Because you never step forward. There are many of people been here, and I can name names, but I'm not trying to point out people that have been at Shining Light Baptist Church, and there might not be many of them that's been here for, had been here, I say that, amen, for 10, 12, 10 years, 8, 10 years, and never won a person to the Lord. It ain't God's fault.
That's right.
It's not God's fault. And you can't say if you're saved today that you can't be a witness.
That's right.
You can be a witness. We could go back to the book of Acts and here Paul, he had a short version, he had a medium version, and if you listen long enough, he had a long version of what happened to him on the Damascus Road. You ought to have your testimony down in such a way that you can share the short version of it, you can share the medium version of it, you can share the long version of it. Amen? Yeah. It's not cut in stone which way to use it, because if you use it, you'll find that even Philip found a common ground, and the circumstances and the conversation led to communicating from the point of where he was reading in the scriptures.
Right.
And you can always take Isaiah 55. Was he talking, and the eunuch says, and we got to wrap it up. The eunuch says, is he talking about himself or some other man? And Philip preached unto him Jesus. And told him about who he was reading about. See, the text gave him the door to step in and share the gospel.
Right.
We're so busy still talking about the Green Bay Packers, Lord help them. Amen. Just kidding. Or the Carolina Panthers. Amen. They ain't doing nothing either. Or the Chicago Bears. I'm just naming all of them that ain't doing that. They ain't probably worth talking a whole lot about anyway. Amen. We're busy doing that when we don't even realize that you could take those same little non-innuendos and open the window of sharing the gospel. Because what Philip did, he found a common ground. Where you were reading in the scriptures, let me explain to you what it is that it's talking about and who it is talking about. So you can't say you can't witness. You can't if you desire to witness and tell somebody about the Lord. So we're without excuse. And that is one of the things that is missing in the church today is personal soul winning. And Philip is a great example of a personal soul winner, because first of all, he heard the call. He answered it.
That's right.
The circumstances weren't the greatest, but he went and followed the command that he got. He communicated the gospel to a man that was reading a passage of scripture that he could easily take it, because he knew what the passage was talking about. See, you got to know your Bible.
Amen.
If you're going to be able to share the truth with somebody.
Amen.
And there's no fault of anybody. Pastor can preach it, and I can try to preach it, but I can't tell you what to do with it in every circumstance, in every situation when it comes to witnessing somebody. You ought to know it well enough that you know every point of it, that you could go to somewhere in the scripture to find out right where somebody's at and bring them right to the cross. Because the Bible tells me that whenever it opens up, the blood of Jesus
Amen.
Is on every page of it. And you should be able to share it. Amen. So we see these things happening, and we don't have to for the sake of time, but I want you to think about it. Let's read on. I want you to see he was submissive to the command. We see him submitting to the command that was given to him. We see the communications. Look at verse number 30. And Philip ran thither and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. Amen. Praise the Lord. And like a lamb dumb before his shears, so opened he not his mouth. And in his humiliation and his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip, and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet that this? Of himself or some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scriptures and preached unto him Jesus.
Amen.
Boy, you can't start out with a greater text, amen, as to be able to share Jesus Christ from the book of Isaiah, because that's who he's talking about, amen. And notice the communication that took place. The perplexity of him saying, how can I accept some man guide me? I didn't get saved because I understood the scriptures. I got saved because Pastor Kraft took this Bible and showed me how I could be saved.
Right.
He guided me through the scriptures. Mm-hmm. And that same guidance needs to take place in your neighbor's life, in your coworker, in the person at Walmart, in the person at Circle K that's begging for money. Give them the gospel. That's what they need more than the dollar and the pennies that they're trying to collect. Amen. So the perplexity here, he inquired and Philip revealed to him, gave him the information that he needed, because he said, I need a teacher to show me. He identified with the place of this text in such a way that the providential of God in this text could be proclaimed. And he preached unto him Jesus. And Peter was capable of taking that area of scripture and show this man how he could be saved. He had the capability to do that. He was following the command. And you notice something happened. The conversion took place. Look at verse 36 or verse 35. And Philip opened unto his mouth and preached unto him, began in the same scripture, preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, seest here is water, who hindereth me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down, both of them, into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch went on his way. And the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. I don't know about you.
Amen.
When I got saved, I got excited. Amen.
Amen.
Boy, I'm going to tell you right now, ain't no greater joy in the Christian life is to be able to take this book and see the conversion take place in a person's life.
Amen.
The Bible tells me
Amen.
That his desire changed, because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are to become new. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, your desires ought to change. This man desires change, his directions change. And that is a sure sign that he received every bit of the salvation that you get at the asking for it. There's no other greater joy that you can have in your life is to receive Christ yourself, but to share it with somebody else and see them get saved. And that's what we need in our church today. If we're going to see this goal met, this 90, what is it, preacher, 83,000 for the upcoming year. We do our part, God will do his part. And we ought to want to see that number increase.
Amen.
We need to go out and win some some people to the Lord is Pastor Baldwin told us about. Go out and win some people to the Lord. Disciple them. See them grow. Teach them. Baptize them. Make disciples that they do the same thing.
That's right.
That's how you go into all the world. We've been given the authority, and now we surely certainly got the power.
That's right.
And we saw it working in Philip's life, and it'll work in your life the same way. He's the same God today. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Yesterday, because I got saved yesterday, today, and forever. He ain't changed. It started the White House to the Poor House, and all those in between need the gospel. Amen? Don't let it miss from Shining Light Baptist Church.
Amen.
Let's make it a goal of ours this year as we go into the new year of giving to missions. Let's do our part. Amen? Let's share the gospel. Philip went on about preaching again somewhere else. Amen? If they don't want to hear it, go to the next person. Amen? If they don't want to hear it, go to the next person. Somebody along the road will want to hear the gospel. Amen? And Jesus Christ will make a difference in their life like he made a difference in yours. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. Amen. Father, thank you again for tonight, Lord. Thank you for the privilege that we have to be in your house tonight. And God, how I feel so unworthy to share your truth, but I need to hear it as well. Because, Lord, we can never witness enough to this lost and dying world. And I pray tonight, Lord, that you spoke to that heart, that life, that person who may not be doing what we can do when it comes to sharing the gospel. But may we be a church that we're not missing. When we're talking about the things that are missing in the churches today, be those of prayer, be those that experience the power of God, be those that want to hear the preaching of God, and be those that want to be personal soul winners, because that's what's missing in churches today. And if we're going to ever make a difference for the glory of God, we got to be willing to be a witness and a testimony, because you've given us everything we need. I pray your blessings now upon this time. In Jesus' name, I pray. I'm going to ask our pastor to come.